Welcome to Talent Hub Talk. I'm Ben Duncombe, and on this podcast, I will be interviewing prominent and inspirational figures from both the local ANZ and global Salesforce Ohana. In today's episode, I'm joined by Anjali Subbaraj. Anjali is a UK-based Salesforce Certified Technical Architect, and through this episode, we talk about her career before Salesforce, how she came to be in the Salesforce ecosystem, and why the ecosystem appealed to her when she came from such an extensive Microsoft background. We talk about the role she's played on Salesforce projects and how the CTA became a goal, and then we look at the journey to achieving the CTA and what she did to get there. We then look at the skills that are required to be an excellent architect and how she set a goal of moving on from once you've become the CTA, what her next goal was. This is a really interesting episode because Anjali actually doesn't specialize in Salesforce any longer. She's broadened her skill set and now works outside of the Salesforce ecosystem, or Salesforce isn't a major part of her day-to-day job at this stage. So it's really interesting to hear from someone that has become a CTA, but then looked at other avenues and other challenges outside of the Salesforce ecosystem. So yeah, really hope you enjoy this episode. And if you do, please do subscribe for other episodes that are coming through. So Anjali, thank you so much for joining us. It's a Saturday morning there. I'm very grateful you're taking your Saturday morning out to chat through your career and story with Talent Hub Talk. So thank you very much.
My pleasure.
So with this podcast series, we typically look right back to our guests' beginning of their career and try and understand a bit more about what life looked like before Salesforce. So could you tell us a bit about your career journey before you got into the Salesforce world?
Okay, so if to look at the very beginning, then this computing is my second career. My first career was that in physics. My academic degree is in physics. I'm a PhD in physics from India. So I lived in India before moving to the UK in 1999. So I used to do research and teach at university. So I was a lecturer in physics and a researcher. So during my PhD work, I got used to working with computers, doing some computing for my data analysis, etc. So that was my introduction to computers. When we moved to the UK, there were not that many jobs in physics. Not that, you know, I found challenging, etc. So I decided to start a new career that was computing. I knew pays well, and there were more jobs in that area. But I didn't have any qualifications or experience per se in commercial computing. So my first job in computers was doing that of a support analyst, just answering phone calls in a startup company. So that was my first job in computers. That was in, I think, 2000. And then yes, I moved from there. I taught myself programming languages and courses along the way. I did PRINCE2 when I was, then I wanted to do project management. So slowly I built up from there and I landed up doing, as you can see from my LinkedIn profile, doing Microsoft Dynamics CRM. Because I was managing that project. And in that process, I decided to check the project management aspect of it and become a consultant. I just decided I don't like being project manager. So I did the certification exams and became a dynamic CRM consultant and then designed, etc.
So had you, because you mentioned that you kind of taught yourself and learned to be a programmer. Were you a programmer in Dynamics?
Afterwards, yes. Programmer in Dynamics, it's to teach myself C#. So I did that. But before that, I used to do, I think, VB6 and Java. So I knew the elements of programming. Once you know object-oriented programming, then you can pick up any language, I think. So doing Java helped me to learn C# pretty quickly. So I was Dynamics CRM developer as well for a while.
Yeah, nice. And the actual studying you did for computer programming, was that like you went to physical places to study, or was it online, just books? How did you learn?
Online books. Those days, online resources were not available. We are talking about maybe 15 years ago. So I relied a lot on books and looking at the product documentation. So go to the websites and learn from there. So it's been a lot of stuff. I believe in self-learning. I think I pretty much have taught myself everything. I've not been to any courses at any point of time.
Wow. So then you stumbled across Salesforce. How did that happen?
So I was working as a dynamic CRM architect for Capgemini. I think this is about 2015. And in 2015, around that time, Salesforce were expanding rapidly. So they were undergoing a huge growth phase. So they were recruiting people from other streams and training them. That's what they were doing. So because I had dynamic CRM background, a Salesforce recruiter got in touch with me and asked me if I'm interested. So I had zero exposure to Salesforce. So my initial response was no. But at the same time, I was curious about Salesforce. So I thought, okay, why not? I'll give it a try. So the interviews went very well. They had advertised for a solution architect role in their professional services in the UK office. So the interviews went well, and they offered me the job. I thought, why not? Let's try.
And the rest is history.
The rest is history. Absolutely. Game changer.
Yeah. So because obviously like Microsoft and Salesforce, right, there's this thing, and you had an extensive background in Microsoft at that point. What were your initial thoughts of the Salesforce platform? Like, what was it that appealed to you about coming across into the Salesforce world?
So I was working with Microsoft Dynamics CRM for a number of years, maybe 5 or 6 years. But Dynamics CRM started as on-premises. So I was doing a lot of on-premises projects, and those days it was a lot more on-premises than cloud. And Microsoft moved Dynamics CRM into the cloud just about, I think, maybe 2013-14, around that time. But I kept on working on on-premises projects. So that was becoming soon legacy. And then, you know, I wanted to move into do new technology and move into the cloud technology. So I wasn't getting that opportunity where I was. And working on legacy projects, I just thought, you know, I'm not learning anything new. I'm not challenging myself. On the other hand, if I move to cloud technology, that will challenge me. And I'll also not have to deal with, you know, fixing the server issues and the infrastructure issues. So I was doing more of that than doing any application architecture per se. So sure. I just thought moving to cloud technology will challenge me and also give me opportunity to solve business, real business problems rather than fighting with infrastructure problems.
Yeah, nice. Was it kind of love at first sight with Salesforce? Did you know as soon as you moved across that you'd made the right decision?
I was blown over by everything. I think the first week I was completely blown over by the company, the approach. It was so different to what I was used to, even the ways of working, the people, very collaborative, very open, fast-moving, agile. Everything was different. But I think I was a bit scared and apprehensive as well that have I done the right thing? Because I was out of my comfort zone in so many ways that I think a couple of weeks I felt I'm out of my comfort zone. But I had a good manager then, and she kept reassuring me, you're fine. And I think she helped me to settle down a lot. So after a few weeks, then it was fine. I got into the swing of things, and yes, it was absolutely wonderful.
Yeah, nice. So your first role was solution architect in professional services. Throughout your time with Salesforce, what roles did you play? Did you stay as a solution architect, or did the role change over the years?
I joined as a solution architect. That's in the professional services strategic projects practice. But there also, I thought I was doing more of consultancy type of roles. And I wanted to, again, I've always been about pushing myself and learning new. And I had joined Salesforce in the first place to learn about cloud architecture, to practice cloud architecture. And I thought I'm not getting that in being just a solution architect. So I talked to the head of the advisory practices and then moved into advisory practices as program architect. So those are the only two roles I did in a solution architect and program architect.
Sure. And at what point did the CTA become a goal?
So funnily enough, when I joined Salesforce, I didn't know Salesforce and I didn't know about CTA. I didn't know anything. I was completely blind, oblivious to anything like CTA. And when you join Salesforce, they have the structured learning paths depending on your role. So for a solution architect, the structured learning path had just the 5 certs. I had to do the basic 5 consultancy certs, and that was sufficient. So I did those very quickly, but they only taught me how to configure Salesforce. They didn't, so it was more of consultancy type of learning, and that wasn't sufficient. I could have done developer app, but I knew I wanted to learn about being an architect. So I was looking around, how do I learn about Salesforce platform architecture? Somebody pointed to me towards the learning path for program architects. So he said, why don't you try that? Because those days we didn't have written exams that we have today, but there was an internal process of various domains, 9 domains they are known in Salesforce. There was an internal learning path and a process that you could follow to learn about all those architecture domains. So I started on that path just to learn, because I wanted to learn about cloud architecture. And that's why I started the journey on that, in that direction. And then I think after a couple of, they are called as domain badges, after learning one or two domains, one of my assessors explained me about the CTA. So it was nearly, I guess, 5 to 6 months after joining Salesforce that I learned about CTA. Until then, I didn't even know that there was anything like a CTA. And then once he explained to me, then it became a goal. Then it was not just about learning. Then it was like, okay, this is my goal. I want to achieve it. I drove myself in that direction, not just for learning, but also to achieve something.
Yeah, and what an achievement it is, right? So what did the process look like from the moment you were, I'm going to become a CTA, to going through the review board and passing? What did that journey look like for you?
It was intense. It was hectic. It was manic. I think I did my CTA N2 in 17 months. So it was pretty fast, one of the fastest tracks that any CTA would have taken. So it was intense, but it was fun. And I had to manage my day job, because contrary to what people think, Salesforce doesn't give you time off to study CTA. You are expected to manage your own diary and your commitments to client and then do study CTA. So I had to do that. So it was very challenging. But if I had to do it all over again, I would do exactly the same.
Yeah, nothing to change. You nailed it.
Yes, I nailed it. I didn't have any major setbacks. There were a few challenges. I remember even crying a couple of times and telling my coach that I can't go through this. I'm hopeless. I'll be found out. I'm totally useless. Yeah, but I had a lot of support from Salesforce colleagues as well as my family. So I think you need that support. You need people to support you, not just the resources and education, coaching, etc., but also to keep you going mentally. You need people, friends, family to keep you going. I was lucky to have that support. That's what saw me through, I think, more than anything else.
Yeah, nice. Because it really, like, I know people say journey to CTA, but it really is a journey, right? And I think that's something that I've taken from a lot of the conversations I've had, is it's a full-time job in itself alongside your full-time job preparing.
Yes, it is. Because morning, we used to go, we didn't have a lockdown. So you have to commute to office. So you come into office, you work there maybe up to 6 o'clock. Come home, maybe 7:30, just take a break. And I would study, maybe start studying at 8:39, study up to 11. So every day you had to put in some work. So every day, maybe I would get 2 or 3 hours. I would study on the road, on the way to office, in the trains, in buses. So I would study then. Holidays, I would just do minimum that I had to do to do the household chores and social commitments, and spend rest of the time studying. Even if I travel for holidays, I remember studying at airports because there's long waiting time. So I would take everything with me, PDFs, everything, and study. So you have to find every opportunity to study. But studying is not just about reading and cramming and memorizing. It's also about, at least my studying is, a lot of it is about internalizing. It's about focusing, concentrating, thinking through, and analyzing. So that takes a huge mental effort to stay focused.
Yeah, sure. And at that point, so 17 months in, had you worked on some pretty big-sized, complex Salesforce projects by that stage?
I had. So as a solution architect, I had worked on a couple of them. And when I was actually took my review board, I was on a huge multi-million-pound digital transformation program for one of Salesforce's major clients from the CPG industry. So yes, my day job was challenging. But if you're... question is regarding, do you need to be experienced as an architect Is that what you're asking?
Yeah, I mean, because obviously you were experienced as an architect, but you still only had 17 months of Salesforce experience, which is not like it's not extensive, right? So obviously you'd brought in all of your architecture experience from your life beforehand, but you know, there will be people with more Salesforce experience than 17 months that wouldn't pass the review board. So how much did the actual Salesforce project experience count towards the CTA? Was it the fact that you'd worked on a really, really big project, a complex project that helped you get there?
When I appeared for the CTA board, I had learned about knowledge. So I had knowledge of Salesforce, but the architecture experience came mostly from my prior life, I think. It's not that my being Salesforce architect in Salesforce, that is necessary. I was just a good architect even before I joined Salesforce. So that helped. Mm-hmm. And that's the feedback I got from my coaches, that I was already an architect. So I had to learn about Salesforce. I had to learn about the cloud architecture to enhance my architecture knowledge, and that helped. Now, being an architect, and this is a question that gets asked a number of times, is what is being an architect? You know, is it something that takes me? I think it's a mindset. So for those who are not done big, massive architecture roles, it doesn't matter. It's your mindset. It's about seeing how others are doing it, analyzing it, and then applying that. It is not necessary that you yourself should have done massive programs. In fact, probably you would not have done by the time. But sure. It's important to have the mindset. So even if you do massive programs, if you don't have the mindset, you will still not pass the review board.
Yeah, that makes sense. So obviously, aside from learning Salesforce, where did you find your biggest gap to be through the process? Was there one area that you thought, this is the area that I'm really stuck on across the different areas that you're being assessed on?
I think technical areas, I had good coaching. So during the preparation, I had my weak areas were like, I guess, integration and security, like most people. But I had good coaching and I knew those areas are weak. So I focused on that. And the second weak area was lack of confidence. So I didn't have confidence and I kept thinking I'm going to fail. So I didn't believe in myself. So I had to overcome my own inhibitions and lack of confidence, because without that, you can't get through.
Yeah, yeah. And that's one that it's not something you can just study more, right? It's something that you have to really build up in yourself. And that's a real challenge.
That's a real challenge. But that's where I had good coach. And not just one, but everybody helped in Salesforce, as well as family. And they believed in me more than I believed in myself. And the last thing my coach told me is that when you walk into that room, it's you and the judges. Just go and nail it. Don't think about failure. And that helped, because others believed and told me, you're not going to fail. Don't think about failure. Just think about how you will nail it. So keep that positive mindset and you'll get through. Because most of the things that were part of the CTA review board, I had not done by that time. And that's what I'm trying to say, is that you don't do all the things that are covered in the CTA. I did a lot of that after I finished the CTA. So by the time I had not done, I had probably done maybe 20% of it. So then the 80% is projection. It's using your holistic experience and knowledge and extrapolating it to work out the scenarios, apply the solution. So that's the 80-20 rule, but it's in the reverse, that you would have done 20% and not the 80% of it. You could not have done 80% of it. And yeah, that's what being architect is, that you are not hands-on, you have not done it, but you are still expected to do it, or, you know, explain how to do it.
Sure. And again, that comes back to your prior architecture experience, because I don't think anyone without that could have done 20% of it and passed if they've not been operating as an architect like you had. I think that's the key, right? And that's the transferable skill set that I try to encourage lots of people to look at, right? There are other people outside of the ecosystem that have a wealth of experience that if they come into the Salesforce world, could be a CTA like yourself because of the knowledge they have.
Yeah, it's applying your knowledge. And I don't have a degree in computer engineering. I've taught myself I had mentors before I came to Salesforce. And I learned from them. I observed how they operate. How do they think? What decisions they make? How do they make those decisions? Why do they make those decisions? So it was finding those, not just one mentor, but probably I learned from a few of them. And literally I learned by observing them and then applying what I have observed and learned into my next project. But again, I think it is a 20-80 rule. Whatever you observe, you don't apply everything in one project, but you might apply in your lifetime. So usually it is 20% of it you would have done, because I wasn't a cloud architect before I joined Salesforce. Salesforce is all about cloud architecture. But I knew how to apply what I learned. So that's what I'm saying. It's an architecture mindset rather than architecture experience that is required. So I think after leaving Salesforce for a year, I was doing a role of a chief architect within Salesforce Partner. And I used to interview candidates. They would come with all the exams passed, the application architect as well as system architect. So are they then architects? And probably they would think so. But then what I found was that they would say, oh, but I don't get opportunity to work as an architect. Can I have an architect role? I'm applying for an architect role. I want to be an architect. I passed all those exams, but I don't have experience. And my expectation was, and the feedback I used to give is fine, that when you actually work on a project, you're just working as a senior developer. Somebody else is doing the real architecture. That's fine. But what have you learned? What have you observed? So project that as your own thinking. That's what everybody's looking for. They're looking at how you think, how you approach a problem, rather than have you been there and done it.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's a very difficult jump to make, I think, not just in the skill set, but actually to get those opportunities where someone will give you a chance to step from a senior developer into an architect role. I think so many people are trying to rush that move because people want the title of architect. But it's actually a really difficult one if you don't have the mindset, right? Because you need to be around other architects to learn the mindset and, like you said, to observe them. So without having someone to shadow, then it might not be in your best interest just to take the title if you've not got the guidance.
Yes, that's absolutely true, that you have to be around architects, observe them, learn from them, and then you start to apply them. That's how you become an architect. And it's important to have that mindset. And if you don't have that learning attitude, learning from others and the decision making thinking approach, then you cannot become an architect. Doesn't matter how many exams you pass, you cannot become an architect. And that's what I like about CTA Review Board, that it is actually testing you on knowledge. Is important to know, to have passed through the exams and have studied, but how are you applying it? How do you think on your feet? How do you think through a complex problem? How do you think rapidly? So all those aspects of architecture and architect are being tested in the CTA Review Board. And I've been fortunate to have worked with many good architects within Salesforce as well as outside Salesforce. But again, it's a question of finding those people, finding those opportunities. There are plenty. They're there. People are there. Good people are there. They're willing to help. But you have to take the initiatives, go find them and learn from them.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
This episode of Talent Hub Talk is sponsored by our friends from Flow Republic. Flow Republic is a Salesforce Architect Academy that works with individuals and businesses to upskill and prepare Salesforce architects for the CTA Review Board. They also have a number of other offerings, including coaching and guiding on areas such as soft skills, consulting, and design training. Flow Republic are some of the brightest minds in the Salesforce ecosystem and have a proven track record of developing Salesforce professionals and helping architects to reach their goal of becoming a CTA. To find out more about the value they can add, please check out flowrepublic.com.
So you had the goal of becoming a CTA and then you pass it, right? So what next? Like, what was your next goal? How did you go from passing to then setting another goal that was going to stretch you?
Well, I passed my CTA, so for a while I thought, you know, I've conquered the world, and you know, I was basking in the glory and just elated, and I've got nothing else to do now. Kind of, I went through that situation and phase. But then after that, I wanted to do something different, so I took a coaching diploma. I became a certified coach, and then I think at that point, restlessness set in that I've done the CTA. What does it mean? I wanted it to matter. I wanted to make a difference. And I'd also done coaching, so I knew, you know, there is, Salesforce has a lot of talent, but all the talent is concentrated in Salesforce. If you look outside the Salesforce, in the ecosystem, there isn't that much talent. It's coming, changing now, but at least a few years ago, that wasn't the case. So I thought it's time for me to go outside and grow horizontally, which means, you know, not necessarily achieving another CTA, but trying to coach and mentor younger generation of architects. Also work with more clients, because being a solution architect or program architect, you're working with one client at a time. But I wanted the opportunity to help more clients, build the next generation of architects, coach, mentor them. And just for myself, I wanted to seek new horizons. I didn't know what they would be, but I just found myself a bit limited in Salesforce. Though Salesforce is a great company, the technology platform is brilliant. I still thought I was doing more of the same. Nothing had changed for me after getting the CDA. So I just thought it's time to go outside. That's with the CTA achievement, I thought the natural place was to look for a job with a partner. And I avoided the more established partners and sought a less established partner, because I wanted to make a difference. Because I thought if I work for an established partner, then it's again more of the same, because they've established themselves. You're not adding much value to it. So that's why I joined a small partner in a chief architect role to achieve my objectives.
Yeah, and how was that going from Salesforce, a massive organization, into a smaller business? Like, was that a culture shock initially, or was it something you instantly enjoyed?
It was a culture shock, but I was prepared for it. I knew why I was leaving Salesforce, that I was joining a small partner. So I was very clear about why I'm doing it. So it wasn't that much of a shock. So I think it was a good experience working, interacting with clients. I always enjoy. And I had the opportunity to talk to a lot more clients than just one client. I was a program architect on a transformation program as well. And young talent, it is there everywhere. You have to just look for it. And I worked with so many talented developers and tech architects from that company. It's amazing. I'm still in touch with them. Loved it. Enjoyed working with the people. Where I found it a bit limiting is that the growth, there was lack of growth. And it could be a number of reasons, you know, downturn in economy and not many projects were coming through. So the practice didn't grow as well as my employer had thought. So they had those challenges. And again, I think I have the mindset where it becomes more of the same. I try to think, okay, it's time to move on. So,
sure.
So I did some good work, gave them some best practices. So hopefully they're still following them, help some of the clients. But then when I saw that there is no sign of growth, either for myself or for the practice per se, I didn't want to stay back.
Here in Australia and New Zealand, we don't often see CTAs working for end customers, tend to be with Salesforce or with partners, right? So you've now made that transition. So how is it different in an end customer to working for Salesforce or a partner?
It's interesting. And I was wondering how many CTAs, not just in Australia, but globally, are working for end-user organizations. So I don't know how many are there. As it is, you know, the number of CTAs is probably, how many, 230 or 250, around that number, or maybe even less than that. And what is a huge percentage of those work for Salesforce? Maybe there is a smaller percentage working for partners, but end-user organizations, I'm not sure how many CTAs have joined end-user organizations. So that's an interesting statistics to find out if there is any. My role currently in end-user organization is that of commerce lead architect. It has nothing to do with Salesforce. So I don't have Salesforce in my job title at all. In my organization, of course, we have Salesforce as one of the technologies, but we are so big that we have all technologies. We work with all technologies. So I'm not restricted to working with Salesforce. In fact, till today, I've not touched Salesforce. So I've not done any Salesforce architecture.
Wow.
I'm doing end-to-end digital transformation in e-commerce area. That's what I'm working on. So we are building our e-commerce strategy and architecture, and that's what I'm doing. And when you say e-commerce, it's things like ERP, the operational system, supply chain system, integration platform, e-commerce platforms, Salesforce Commerce Cloud being one of them, but there are others as well. Contain management systems, marketing technology, you name it. So right now, I'm just an architect. It's a big leap, I think. So this is a big leap. Leaving Salesforce wasn't such a big leap because I was still Salesforce chief architect working in Salesforce area with the partner though. But this is a big leap for me. And this is really pushing the boundaries that I'm an architect. Everybody looks to me for solving problems, and there's no Salesforce there.
Wow.
But does that mean that CTA is redundant, doesn't help me? Absolutely not. If I had not gone through the CTA journey, I wouldn't be here. So I'm here. I'm proud to be part of a great organization like Mars. It's an incredible organization. I'm very happy to do the role that I'm doing. It's challenging. It's pushing me to the limits that I've never pushed myself to. I'm also in a very different environment. I'm not with partner or, you know, professional services anymore. So it's very different. It's a global role. So I work with diverse cultures, diverse countries. But I'm still being an architect. So I think I'm becoming an architect 360 right now. So it's an all-round architect. So nobody cares whether I have a CTO or I don't have a CTO.
And that's really interesting, because people often ask me, like, and they might have the goal of becoming a CTA, and they're like, well, what happens next? And it's really rare to see someone do what you've done. Like, obviously, you've mentioned it's rare to see anyone in an end user, but to actually go outside of Salesforce and not have that as your core, and having worked so hard to become a CTA, it's amazing that you've taken that leap. And again, it's to stretch yourself, right, and to give yourself new challenges.
Because CTA is a good achievement. CTA is given. Without CTA, I wouldn't be here. And I apply all my CTA learnings. Just as to become a CTA, I applied all the learnings that I had from my previous life. So whatever I've learned through CTA, I'm applying now. I'm applying all the architecture principles that I learned of cloud architecture. So that's what is being very useful. I'm also learned to think on my feet, think rapidly. Because I get asked questions left, right, and center. And everybody wants to know the answers immediately. And as you know, I don't know. And it's the question of, I don't know, but I still have to find out. And I have to find out immediately. It doesn't wait. It's very fast progressing. So I think that's what CTA has given me. CTA has given me those architecture principles for cloud architecture, which I'm extremely grateful for. There's no other technology like Salesforce that does cloud architecture. So I was so grateful for that. I've also learned, as I said, to be a rapid, agile professional. And that is helping me to help Mars transform in an agile manner. So it's important that agility, quick thinking, that mindset, you require it to get to CTO. And it's required to become transformational. And that's what I think is helping me.
Yeah, nice. And, you know, it's going to be very funny for the team in Mars, when, like, the Salesforce team, when they've got an issue and they find out that there's a CTA in the ranks, that they could, the Salesforce admins will find out, oh, we've actually got a CTA here. Who knew?
Yes, I haven't come across that yet, but it doesn't matter. I'm just going as far as happening. Most of the people don't even know I have a Salesforce CTA and don't care. I have to, when I introduce myself, I say I come from Salesforce background, but Salesforce is so big nowadays that we've got so many products that are Salesforce. And funnily enough, when I did my CTA, I didn't know about CTA other Salesforce products, like Marketing Cloud or Commerce Cloud. I'd not worked with them. After I left Salesforce, I've worked with those products. So I'm expected to know everything that is Salesforce. And that is so difficult, because you can't be an expert in all products. But again, that's not the issue, that you have not done it, so you can't do it. You can still do it. I can still apply the architecture principles and understand about the product. So that's what we keep going back to. You have to have the mindset. You have to know the principles. You have to know how to apply those principles. And that's it. That's being an architect.
Yeah, nice. So if you could give one tip now to someone that's starting their architecture journey, what would it be? Like, how do they get that mindset? Like, what's the number one piece of advice you would give for someone starting out to become a great architect?
I think try to take the next step from whatever you are doing. If you are a developer, try and see what the senior developer is doing, how he or she is doing, why they are doing. So try and buddy up or work with them and learn those skills. If you are a senior developer, try and buddy up or follow, shadow a technical architect from your project or from your assignment. So always think and always try to learn from one step above. Don't try to jump too far ahead, but one level above. Always try and bring in that learning into whatever you do.
Yeah, nice. Well, look, thank you so much. I've really enjoyed the chat, and I think there's a huge amount of value in there for our audience. And I think it's inspiring that the leap that you've taken to, you know, search for that next challenge and really push yourself to do that. So I'm really excited to see what the future continues to bring and what's next further down the line. So,
yes, I don't know what is further down the line, but that's what makes it exciting. So
absolutely.
Hopefully, I think we see more architects coming in, and it's a discipline that is not well understood. So it's time to make that discipline well known and established. The work is to be done from both sides, from the community that needs architects and architects themselves. I think the work that you are doing is extremely important. You're building a community of architects, and you're also explaining to other audiences what architecture is about. So it's good. Thank you. Well, it's my pleasure to have been on this call with you.
Yeah, I really appreciate it. And yeah, if anyone does want to reach out and ask any questions, where's the best place for them to contact you?
Message me through LinkedIn. I'm usually always responding to messages on LinkedIn. So contact me through LinkedIn.
Yeah, nice. Okay, well, thank you very much. Enjoy the rest of your Saturday, and we look forward to keeping in touch.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Talent Hub Talk. If you're enjoying the podcast, we'd love it if you could subscribe and also leave a short review. We're keen for this podcast to reach as many people in the Salesforce ecosystem as possible, and your reviews will help us do that.